listeners. This is the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. We will have only the best psychics and astrologers in the world on our program, and I guarantee it'll be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. I'm pleased to tell you that we are the fastest-growing psychic and metaphysical radio program in the world, and now we have listeners in over 40 different countries and all the world's continents, from Vancouver to Toronto and Montreal in Canada, to Dublin, Ireland, to London, England, Paris, France, Zurich, Switzerland, Italy, Madrid, Spain, Lisbon, Portugal, Norway, Germany, Vienna, Greece, Croatia, Russia, the Ukraine, Turkey, Tel Aviv, Israel, Amman, Jordan, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Kenya, South Africa, Pakistan, across India to Malaysia and Indonesia, Australia, and New Zealand and Japan. Of course, we also have listeners, not to forget, in lots of listeners in Central and South America, including Brazil, Mexico, Argentina, Paraguay, Venezuela, and Cuba. And I welcome you all to this Out of This World radio program. Before we start, I'd like to ask all my listeners here in the United States to send good thoughts to Susan Miller in New York, as well as Stanley Monteith, and to Candy Sanders' husband. She's a psychic who was on my program a couple of months ago. That your good thoughts have all helped. And before I begin, I'd like to urge all of my listeners to tune into Susan Hartman's wonderful show from 12 noon to 1 p.m. and Sarah Wiseman's wonderful show from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KKNW. Both are really good shows. Today we have a split show that I guarantee it'll be really out of this world. For the first hour, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., we will have one of Hawaii's best psychics, Jennifer O'Neill, during the first hour of the program, followed by one of the world's best spiritualists, Dr. Susan Shumsky, coming to us live from New York City from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. As always, if you'd like to listen to the show when it's being broadcast, please go to www.1150kknw.com and click on Listen. Otherwise, after the show, you can always go to the show website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and then scroll down to the bottom of the page for either Jennifer O'Neill during our first hour or Dr. Susan Shumsky for our second, and you can listen to the audio from either program. You can also follow us on Twitter at Ted Marr, TEDMAHR, OTW Radio, or on Facebook at Out of This Radio, Out of This World Radio. During the show, if you have any questions, you're always feel free to call into the studio at area code 425-373-5527. Or if you're calling within Western Washington, please call in at 1-888-298-5569. This radio program is a nonprofit show whose purpose is to raise human consciousness, and we're supported by listener donations. If you like this program or would like to support it, please send your donations to PayPal at this email address, outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And you can also write to me at the same email address, which is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Even $5 or $10 really helps, because this is a listener-supported program, and donations are the sole source of support for the show. Before we begin, briefly, I wanted to share some really good news from last week's show. Last Friday, from 3 to 4 p.m., we had Dr. Masaru Emoto on the program, live from Tokyo, Japan. Dr. Emoto is the world's most famous water scientist, and we did an intention experiment at about 3:30 p.m. Seattle time last Friday, where I asked Dr. Emoto and all my listeners to send love and light to Gaza and to Israel for them to stop fighting. Well, at about 8:30 p.m. Seattle time, I finally arrived where I was staying, and when I turned on CNN on the television, the Israelis and the Palestinians had just announced a spontaneous 12-hour ceasefire that started at 9 p.m. Seattle time last Friday, so both sides could take care of the wounded and bring in medicine and food supplies. So an intention experiment worked, and if it's all right with Jennifer later today, I'd like to do another intention experiment where I'd like to send more love and light to the Israelis and to the Palestinians in Gaza, so hopefully they can resolve their differences and stop fighting. Before we begin, briefly, I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, and without whose friendship and help, this program would not have been possible. My dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla College, and my dear friend Heidi in Switzerland, who's been helping to arrange many psychic appearances by European psychics, as well as my angelic and earthly family. As well as, and in addition to that, I'd also like to thank Eric Burris and my station manager, Eric Crema, for without whose help and support this program would not have been possible. Well, I think I've talked enough. I should let Jennifer take the show now away. Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Well, Jennifer, you have a wonderful background. You're a spiritual teacher and best-selling author, devoted to helping others learn how to live a happier life. You're the author of several books, including Soul DNA, Inspirational Quotes, The Keys to the Spiritual World, The Pursuit of Happiness, and several other books scheduled to be released later this year. You're also one of Hawaii's top psychics and leading experts in the field of soul DNA and the originator soul DNA process. You have spent the last 20 years as a professional psychic and spiritual teacher helping people all over the world to help themselves spiritually. Jennifer, how did you become interested in becoming a psychic?
Well, it kind of sounds funny, but I've always been psychic. So it's not like I got interested in becoming a psychic, because it was really strange. When I was growing up, I thought everybody was like me. So I didn't realize until I got older that not everybody knew things like I did, like when I started going to school and stuff. Then I started realizing, wait a minute, how come you guys don't know this? Or how come you don't know we shouldn't do this? It was a very odd experience for me. And that's when I learned that I was different. But as far as doing professional readings, it's just something that I've always been driven to help other people. It's just like it was an internal desire to develop it to help other people, because I knew it helped me quite a bit. And so when you decide something like that, people just start coming out of the woodworks and asking you for help, and you start, you know, seeing things. But becoming a professional psychic, you really do have to be mentored for anybody out there who wants to do that and do feel like that they have a psychic ability level. Being psychic and reading somebody are totally two different ball games, and so you really have to hone your skills and do the best that you can to be mentored and trained and learn how to read people correctly, so that you're giving clients your best self and the best information that you can for them, because they are really two totally different things.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for sharing that. You were very kind, Jennifer, to send me a copy of your book called Soul DNA, and I've read it. It's a wonderful book. And at the beginning of the book, you list 18 different universal laws, and there's quite a few here. If you don't mind, I'd love to go through a few of them.
For sure.
The first one you list is called the Law of One or Oneness, that everything is connected, that we are all one. The second one is, and that's certainly a very profound and very true statement. The second one is the law of vibration. Everything in the universe vibrates or offers a vibration. And the third, there's quite a bit here, but the third is called the law of attraction, where you attract into your life what you are offering vibrationally.
Right.
And that one, I think, is very important, because a little bit later in your book, you write that... Here I have it here. People spend a lot of time and energy feeling sorry for themselves and being negative. They believe that everyone else has it better, and they wonder why they have it so rough. But then if you think about the law of attraction, you attack what you're offering vibrationally. Then if you want to improve your life, then you should try to raise your vibrations, even if you are in a crummy mood or having a rough time in life. Isn't that be correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And just so that you know, and I should send you a follow-up to that. I actually wrote another book, 18 Universal Laws, and The Secret to Manifesting Your Desires. And maybe I'll see if we can send you that one as well. The thing that really messes people up, and the reason I wrote that is because a lot of people read Soul DNA and they wanted more of an explanation. I started finding that everybody is interested in the law of attraction. but mm-hmm. they don't understand it very well. It's very magical and it's wonderful and it is an amazing thing. But they mm-hmm. think that if you visualize something, then it's just going to come to you and it's all thought-based. Well, mm-hmm. it's not thought-based, it's feeling-based, and that's where people get really messed up. So mm-hmm. what happens is a lot of people, let's say that you hate your job right now, or you're very frustrated mm-hmm. at your job, but say there's mm-hmm. listeners out there like that, and they just mm-hmm. imagine that there's a better job out there, or that next year they're going to find a higher-paying job or something that suits their schedule flexibility-wise, but the whole time they're being frustrated and upset at this job. It doesn't mm-hmm. work like that. Now the energy that you're putting out to the universe is frustration and being upset. So what happens is everything creates on feel. If you're feeling frustrated and upset, and you throw that in, the energy radiates from you. You don't even have to focus. You don't have to visualize and send it out there in any way or form. It does it naturally because that's what our body does. Mm-hmm. So once mm-hmm. you're sending that consistently out, frustration energy forms things and in events and material things even into your life, and it pulls it back in as an attraction. Mm-hmm. So you have to be more careful about what it is that you're feeling on a day-to-day basis than what it is you're trying to visualize for the future. And so mm-hmm. people ask me all the time, well, great, how do I change being unhappy? Like, I'm not happy where I'm at. So this goes into a whole different ballgame of a lot of different things. One is, people need to start taking responsibility for forcing themselves to make choices that they're not happy about. It's really interesting to me.
Are you there, Jennifer? For those who just tuned in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, talking to Jennifer O'Neill, one of Hawaii's best psychics in Hawaii. We just lost connections with Jennifer, but we're going to try to get her back. Jennifer, in her book, had written about 18 universal laws. I'll list them now while we're trying to get Jennifer back. The first law is the law of one or oneness, that everything is connected, that we are all one. The second law is the law of vibration, that everything in the universe vibrates or offers a vibration. The third is the law of attraction, that you attract into your life what you are offering vibrationally. The fourth law, which I think is very important, is called the law of allowing. In other words, the state of allowing is the purest state of manifesting. You allow things to move without resistance and to evolve and grow naturally and to move into your life. The fifth law is the law of resistance. Anything offering resistance will manifest itself into energy blockages or stuck energy. The law of detachment, number six, this is the law of releasing or letting go from your desire. The seventh law is the law of abundance. There's more than enough in the universe, that nothing is limited. The law of intention, directing energy as intention, is the first step in creation of desire, which results in manifestation. The law of action must be taken in order to result in manifestation. The law of cause and effect, that every action has reaction or consequence. Do we have Jennifer back online?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great, Jennifer. Sorry we lost you there. Are you talking on a landline or a cell phone?
No, I'm talking on a cell phone, but it's weird that you're going to think this is funny. But actually, a lot of times when I get into radio interviews and we start talking about stuff like this, I will get cut off. It doesn't matter if it's a landline or not. It is very strange, but it's very common. So.
Well, I would recommend that perhaps you protect yourself with some white light, because perhaps there are some spirits there that don't want you to share your good word about your abilities around the world. That's my impression of what's going on. So, but anyway, I forgot where we left off. You were talking about people being happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking about the law of attraction and how people get very frustrated because it's not working in their favor. Mm-hmm. What they don't understand, people going back to people making choices, they make choices and they force themselves to stay in a situation that they're unhappy because they're very fearful that, you know, that they may not have enough money or they may not be able to pay their bills and they may not be able to do this. So a lot of different things, support their family, feed themselves. And so a lot of people make choices based on fear. And the problem with doing that is you're not using the universal laws correctly. A lot of times people find themselves in situations where they are feeling very unhappy. Well, the thing with universal laws is it works on a spiritual level. And when I start talking to people about their soul and their spirit, when you become happy or depressed, imagine it like your soul being a plant that you haven't watered for a very long time, and it begins to wilt. And when your soul starts feeling malnourished and it's not, you're not feeding your soul what you need to feed it, what happens is energetically it will reflect in the world around you. It will reflect in the world around you, and it will actually reflect in your physical body. I can tell how somebody's doing internally on a soul spiritual level by meeting them in probably 2 minutes. Just by understanding and evaluating what's going on with them physically is exactly a reflection of what's going on with you on a soul level, which is very interesting, and people don't tend to know that.
So that's fascinating to share that. I don't mean to interrupt, Jennifer, but I wanted to tell you something very important. I was in Egypt about 12 years ago, and I was visiting the temples at Luxor down on the Lower Nile, and there's a whole bunch of hieroglyphs there, and they say that one of the hieroglyphs said that for every disease there's a spiritual problem, and they split the word disease into dis-ease, D-I-S-E-A-S-E, and that dovetails with what you just said, that there's a spiritual cause for every illness. I know Native Americans in North America, before the time of the European settlers came, the typical view of a Native American medicine is that there's always, until today, too, if you talk to a Native American shaman about healing, they always say and they always emphasize that there's a spiritual cause for whatever ails you physically, which I thought fascinating and correct, too. But please continue. Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's incredibly important, and it's really interesting that you've had those experiences as well for your listeners to understand. But it's true. I mean, your spiritual health is reflected around you in your physical health and in your physical environment just by what's happening in your life. And so if there's a lot of discord going on in your physical environment and in your physical health, that's really the time that you really need to understand and learn and kind of do self-reflection and realize your soul's not happy. And you can force yourself to stay in the situation that you're in and for some reason believe that that's the best outcome for you. Or you can realize that if your environment's a reflection, and if you make some changes, imagine what happens when you get a healthy soul. Imagine the reflection in your life. And the interesting thing is, It affects everything. When you get a healthy soul and it starts radiating around to all the other parts of your life and going through the cells of your physical body, your health starts to improve. You begin to heal. You also, it affects your money flow. It affects your environment as far as relationships go. It affects things all on a healthy level, everything around you. And people get so afraid that their brain, that their mind knows of all these better things than with the doctors or what their friends are doing. Well, their friends are saying, don't do that. Don't switch jobs. Do you know how little jobs there are out there? Or your parents are worried about you all the time saying, what do you mean you're going to quit that job? You've been doing that for 20 years. You know, you cannot dictate your soul's happiness by what everybody else is teaching you, because a lot of those people, if you look at them, they're not in a better situation. So you have to dare to be different, and you have to dare to go, what I'm doing right now at this point in my life is not working for me, if you're in an unhappy situation. And then you have to trust that the universe works differently than you've been taught in your brain. And you should know this. I'm sure your listeners are very smart. If you break it all down into quantum physics and all of that, curtains, walls, cars, you break everything down, it's proven. It is scientifically proven. It's not a metaphysical guru thing that everything is moving atoms and moving, pieces of energy. And so those things are all just compressed and they form something dense, right? And so we have our soul, our spirit has the power and the knowledge to move and change those things of our environment. But people don't trust that because they've been taught something differently their entire life. So when you're moving that energy, you have to move it from a place of being happy. And that's the problem with law of attraction.
Absolutely, absolutely. You have very, this book is very profound, the one you sent me, and I hope you don't mind me jumping ahead. There's 18 different universal laws here, and number 8 I find interesting because I want to relate it to the what's going on in Gaza, Israel right now. It says the law of intention, directing energy as intention is the first part, first step of creation, desire which results in manifestation. And I don't know, I hope you heard what I said earlier about Dr. Emoto being on the program last Friday.
Oh, yeah.
But we did an intention experiment a week ago where we sent light and love to both the Palestinians and the Israelis in Gaza for them to try to resolve their differences. I know it's a very volatile situation. And within about 5 hours after we did that intention experiment, both the Israelis and the Palestinians announced a spontaneous 12-hour ceasefire where they could deliver food and medical supplies and take care of the wounded. And if you don't mind, I'd love to spend a minute or two to do that now, just to ask, if you don't mind, just
go,
to ask
go,
you.
Go first.
Yeah, and ask my, I'd like to ask you, and of course my listeners all over the world and across the United States, Canada, Europe, the Middle East, Asia, South Asia, in the Pacific, in South America, in Russia, in Ukraine, but please send love and light to the Palestinians and to the Israelis in Gaza, in the Gaza area, for them to try to resolve their differences. And I know that they say there's another ceasefire now for 72 hours and to bring love and light to that area so they can hopefully resolve their differences and have peace. And if this can result in even the saving of one life, it's all worth it. So I just want to take a minute to do that, and then we go on. Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, well, go ahead, Jennifer. I didn't mean to interrupt that thought, but
no, absolutely. So the other thing that people are finding that they're—I don't know if you're noticing—but a lot of people are finding that what's happening is, as with the Mayan calendar and all that, I'm sure people have heard of. We're actually moving from a physical-based era to a spiritually based era, and why does that actually matter to anybody? It matters because what's happening now is people are actually becoming more aware of their physical, their spiritual body. They can actually feel it now, whereas before we were in survival mode. And so there was many, many hundreds of years there where people were learning just to survive. And so they became very attuned to their physical bodies and trying to just live, you know, outlive disease and starvation, et cetera. And then now we've gotten to the part of our physical or physical-based era is now ending or has ended, and we're moving into a spiritually-based era. So one of the very important things that's going on right now is there's a lot of discord with everybody who is not very in touch with their spiritual bodies that have done the same thing for 20 years, or I have a lot of calls. Why was my life going just famously fine for 20 years, and then all of a sudden my husband got laid off, or why was it going fine and everything still hasn't changed, but I feel different and I don't feel right? And it's as these people are becoming aware of their spiritual bodies, and this is kind of the message I'd like to make sure that people understand is you really need to start evaluating with what you want in life. And it comes down to basically a couple of different things. People want more happiness, they want more time, and they want more freedom. And so when you're reevaluating choices and things that you're doing in your life, you really need to pay more attention to that and stop focusing so much on the physical stuff, which would be a bigger house or more money or whatever, because what people really desire, what their soul desires, is love and happiness and flexibility and freedom to do things. You know, if you even ask somebody what, you know, why would they want to have a $100,000 a year job, it's basically because they think money buys them both things.
Sure.
And so people need to reverse their thinking now and go, if you go for the other stuff and understand that you're really looking for happiness and more love and that sort of thing, the other things will begin to fall into place.
Well, Jennifer, I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just always like to give a short station announcement. For those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Out of This World Radio International with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW, 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington. And we have on the line Jennifer O'Neill, one of Hawaii's best psychics. Jennifer, on that note for spiritual involvement, flexibility, and freedom, do you think there's a schism between some governments in the world who seem to be enacting authoritarian measures versus the will of the people to become more free and spiritually alive?
Yes, I think that there's definitely a discord amongst, you know, like you said, the higher powers and the people who want more freedom. Mm-hmm. But that's how change comes about, though. That's how mm-hmm. we get what we want. That's how the masses come together and they become a force and they raise each other's vibration. And then that's how change happens. And that actually is an alignment with the spiritually based era, with that coming more alive. Because in the past, a lot of the rulers, they had more control and they were more, as you know, the underlying thing with most people who want to rule is money and power, right? And so you had more submissive groups at that time. And now with everybody starting to feel their spiritual bodies and feel the power that comes with that and really come into their own with that spiritual power, they're kind of rising and bonding together and raising each other's vibration and basically saying, we want something different now. So the way that it was ruled in the past, you know, several hundred years, that's going to change.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way I look at it, you know, I mean, for my listeners, especially abroad, I think there's a schism sometimes between what our federal government does here in the United States and the people, what the people want. And a lot of people, there's problems in this country. I would not say we don't have problems, certainly, but the American people truly still want freedom, and I think it's safe to say also that the American people also want spiritual advancement, too. And for many people around the world, even though perhaps we have our failings in foreign policy, which many Americans, I don't think, approve of what our government does overseas, on the other hand, the American people themselves, we ourselves, are many of us are going on a spiritual path, as indicated by this radio show, and I think it's good for us to try to light the way for the world to become more spiritually aware, and that's where we can make a difference in a good way for the world and the planet as a whole.
Well, and another thing, too, is people shouldn't take for granted just starting with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to necessarily make a mass spiritual movement or join together with 10 people, but start with yourself and make sure that your own spiritual accord is good, because what happens is people notice around you and your friends and your family start going, what are you doing? Like, your life is changing. You feel different. You seem different. I want to learn what you're learning. And you literally affect all the people in your life, and they start, some of those people will decide to do it, and then they pick up. It's like a domino effect. So even making sure that you start with yourself and not go, oh, I'm feeling very bad about all these people and I don't know what to do. Start at home. Start with yourself and get yourself, your happiness level intact, and make sure that the choices that you're making in life are good for your soul. Because in turn, if you make good choices for your soul, it's going to reflect on your family, and you're going to be making good choices for your family. You're going to be making good choices financially. It's going to be scary, though. That's the other thing, is people have a hard time making change. When they go from being a physically based thinker to a spiritually based thinker, when they start making decisions on, is this going to make me happy? Is this going to be an easier path for me? It's very scary, because you really are trusting the unknown at that point. But you really want, you know, go ahead.
Sure. What I was going to say is that one of the universal laws, which you list in your fascinating book, is the number six, the law of detachment. This is the law of releasing or letting go from your desire. And so you have to sometimes. Would it be correct to say, Jennifer, that you send out the intention out there for something good to happen, and then you have to let it go and let the universe do its thing?
Well, yeah, it doesn't even need to be as vague as that. But here's the interesting thing. I find it very interesting that people just assume if they don't attach a picture to something, that the universe is not going to know what they want. And then, like, the universe is going to send me something that Ted wants and Ted something that Jennifer wants. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't work like that. It works like whatever they already know. The universe knows what your desires, your internal desires are. And so you don't have to necessarily set out, I want a bigger house. Here's the interesting thing. When people are manifesting, you don't go, I want a bigger house. What I come down to is, what's the problem? You want more space. You want to not feel cramped. You want to feel like you can move around and be more mobile. Do you see what I mean? What happens if you why do you want more money? Well, I want to vacation more. I want to feel less stressed with the bills. You know, you have to get down to what it is that you're desiring, because it's never a physical thing. It's very interesting. And so then you put that desire and intention out into the universe. So instead of going, I want a bigger house, you go, you know what? I just want to stop feeling so cramped all the time. I want to feel like my energetic space is cleaner and more organized because I have more space. It doesn't matter how the universe decides to bring that to me. Do you see what I mean? There's a difference. You have to think more on an energetic level than you are on a physical level. And everybody is so attached and tied to putting a physical picture to their mind than they are a feel, an energetic feel. That's, those are two very different things. So, for instance, if I'm going about my day and I'm feeling very stressed, I don't necessarily imagine all the things that I want to happen during the day, but I go to the end of the day and I go, okay, I want to be sitting in, at my dinner table feeling like, wow, I feel good. I don't know what happened during the day, but everything resolved itself, and I'm feeling very content and happy at my dinner table. So that's what I do. And I tell you, 99.9, actually 100% of the time, I usually end up at my dinner table, and I'm feeling relieved because a lot of things resolve themselves. If I get hung up on every little detail throughout that day, oh my gosh, I got to pick up my kids, and I forgot to do this, and I have this important meeting that I'm very worried about. If you try to work through all those with your brain, you will find hiccup after hiccup after hiccup, and you will be so stressed by the time you get to the dinner table. It's ridiculous. So I've learned you trust the universe to work out those little details that your brain wants to, and you go to the feeling that you want at the end of the day.
And I have to tell my many listeners around the world, too, that there is a series of books that a famous psychic named Dolores Cannon wrote back in 1989-1990. They're called Conversations with Nostradamus. And she took a group of about 12, a dozen psychics, and they, as a group, went back and visited Nostradamus back in the 16th century to interpret his quatrains. And one of the interpretations he conveyed to them was that by the 2030s and 2040s, that during our time frame now, that we would enter into a thousand-year period of spiritual enlightenment and peace and prosperity. And so I know we're having parts around the world are suffering lots of conflicts, and it's a tough time for a lot of people with the economy. But I guess I want to tell everyone that there are much better times ahead, and you just kind of have to hang on. And that's why your work is so important, Jennifer, because you do give the people the tools to you know, to attract what they the positive things into their lives, and to get away from the negativity. Could you give out your website, please, or people how people could contact you?
Yeah, it's HawaiiHealingWithAnS.com.
Okay,
and
wonderful.
I also have a lot of free content on there for people, like a blog and, you know, my radio show as well, and a lot of free stuff.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. And you can also, if you go to my my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com, all lowercase, just scroll down to Jennifer O'Neill's name, and you can click on the her website. It goes right to her website, and also to the audio after the show will be available for those who, you know, who missed the show today. Jennifer, what do you see for the world and for the United States in the coming years?
Let's see. Well, that's a broad question.
in 10 words or less. All right, well, maybe 20 words or less.
basically, what's going to happen, there is still going to be some economic discord, but you're going to have, I actually see kind of people falling into two different groups of people, where you're going to have the people who still are very fear-based and falling in line with the economic stuff, and they're going to be struggling with money and then in different things. But I also see another group of people who, the people who decide to get in touch with their spiritual bodies and really live to be happy, you know, live to find themselves and find them their purpose, they're actually going to elevate. So I do see a little bit of a separation economically, because it seems like a lot of those people will actually elevate their lifestyle and who and how they live, and then the other ones will be too fearful, so they'll stay back and listen to all their friends and, you know, kind of not have so much trouble. But there will be a lot of switching in the world. There will be a lot of younger groups a lot of young group, people in their 20s and 20 to 30 and whatnot, a lot of those people are going to really stand up and find their voice, and they're not going to be quiet about it, and that's going to be all over the world. The other thing that people are going to have to start really being careful of, and I never, ever thought I would say this as a psychic, because I swear I'm the psychic that can do readings with doing anything. Mm-hmm. People really have to watch what they're feeding their bodies as far as organic or preservative foods. And they're really, that's one concern that I do have. And I think that you really have to start staying away from the preservatives and the box stuff versus eating anything that's, the way that you got to look at it is plants and organic stuff, and even organic chicken and broccoli and things that come from the earth. That's all energy. So you're feeding your body more energy, and so it processes it very different, and it affects your health and all of that and your spiritual body, because it's just energy moving through, right? But mm-hmm. if you start adding a lot of preservatives and chemicals, that's not energetic based. And so it's actually causing people a lot of problems. On a physical level and spiritually and all that. So you want don't eat it, but be more aware of what you're putting into your body. I don't think it's, you know, feasible for, you know, working mothers and stuff just never to have boxed macaroni and cheese. But what I'm saying is be more aware, you know, and try to cut it out as much as you can.
Sure. Well, along those lines, I think it's important to be aware of what our government and other governments are doing and not doing. I have a program on September 5th with Elena Freeland, who's one of the world's authorities on chemtrails. And I know from my listeners out in Hawaii that they do spray chemtrails out there, too. She has a wonderful book about chemtrails that came out about 6 months ago. And it's packed full of about 150 to 200 different scientific studies indicating the chemical composition of the chemtrails, which are secretly being sprayed by this government on its people, including Hawaii. They spray borium, strontium, and 90 borium, strontium, and aluminum above ground, as well as lots and lots of sulfur. We've had a record last 2 weeks of temperatures going into 115 to approaching 120 degrees here in eastern Washington. Over in Seattle area, it's been in the 90s, unseasonably hot. And a lot of it, I think, is from the chemical spraying that our government does without our permission, without our consent. The other thing, too, I have to ask you about, being in Hawaii, what about Fukushima? Have you guys been getting doused with the radiation from that reactor plant in Japan?
You know, people anticipated that happening, but as far as, and they anticipated, like, it coming in through the water and whatnot, yeah. But mm-hmm. We haven't heard or seen any reports on that, but, you know, you have to use common sense, because even there's other things that happen around here too. Like when we have really bad rain, you know, the canals and the beaches can overflow and then cause like what we call a brown water. So, you know, with ocean and that type of stuff, you just want to use common sense anyways, because a lot of the things that can harm you, you don't hear about on the news. Of course, the only stuff, you know, you hear about on the news is what they want to mold your minds with. Right.
Right.
So
exactly.
you want to use common sense anyways for anything that's not on the news, but another interesting thing, if you want to, when we get down to the chemtrails and all that kind of stuff, which is a little bit different than what you're saying, is mm-hmm. that's another thing about keeping your spiritual body healthy, is people don't realize how easily your physical body will heal itself when
uh-huh.
you are actually very healthy. Mm-hmm. The physical body is made to heal itself. And mm-hmm. you actually have all these different things people don't even know about, stomach linings and fats that will move over and encompass something. If you have an infection in your internal organs, you have this layer of fat in there that will move over mm-hmm. and fight that infection by encapsulating it. If mm-hmm. you are staying healthy on a spiritual level, your body is meant to heal itself naturally on a physical level. So in my experience, and you may disagree, but in my experience, if you're very healthy on that level, even with chemtrails and eating box macaroni and cheese and all that, you will actually, you'll stay relatively healthy and live a pretty long life. But that's what I'm saying, is it's so important to do what you can individually and keep yourself healthy from the inside out, because that's when you're more powerful. That's when everything radiates on a way more powerful level that they can't even explain.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I absolutely agree with you that it's so important to be spiritually healthy, because then your resistance is stronger and you can survive whatever assaults the government's doing to us from chemtrails or from GMO foods or from Fukushima. You know that the Japanese government allows 85,000 gallons of highly radioactive water to be dumped in the Pacific from Fukushima every single day. They've done that since 2011 with absolutely no plans to shut it down, as if radiation is the best thing since sliced bread for us. And you don't hear one word of it on our controlled media. There's six corporations which control the U.S. media. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The only time you hear about Fukushima is perhaps on shows like mine, where we dare to discuss.
You don't hear a lot about a lot of things that go on. And that's why I'm saying, like, I don't want everybody, or I don't like the people that I touch to be fearful all the time. I like them to know that if they want to be involved in something like that, they can do things like have a show like you're doing. They can get together and have a group. You know, that's where we're powerful. Absolutely. Be forward and try to stop those things and do something about it. But don't come from a place of necessarily fear where you're worried that you're going to go in the ocean and then all of a sudden die of radiation poisoning. You know what I mean? Be proactive, right? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I do have some good news. I had a guest on a couple of months ago named Scott Lemriel. He's the author of one of the New York Times best-selling books called The Ceres Agenda, S-E-R-E-S. And his book is the result of 52 years of face-to-face contact and telepathic contact with a group of benevolent aliens called the Galactic Alliance. And he says, well, about 3 months ago, Washington, Oregon, and California, and British Columbia, and Alaska were due to be hit with a radiation plume of water from Fukushima that was 10 times more radiation than all the bombs dropped since Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And now scientists have gone out to the ocean. Guess what? Radiation's gone. Everybody's scratching their heads. And he says that his friends from out of town from the Galactic Alliance have cleaned it up. So the Pacific now is cleaned up thanks to outside intervention.
They actually have had reports, and they pulled them immediately. I don't know if you guys know this. There was actually a lot of YouTube videos and some other different things that were filmed of some type of light containment coming down right around that time. And they had over a million views in like less than 24 hours, and they were pulled immediately.
Who pulled it?
We don't know. I don't know.
Well, I suspect. I suspect.
Thing. I mean, I suspect I know. But
I suspect I know too. Yeah,
for sure. But what I'm saying is, it's very interesting. There definitely is a lot of outside help as far as containment and things where they think that we are seriously going to wreck our Earth and our world. We're definitely watched over. We have we are actually patrolled over, which people don't know, because we are claimed by a certain area. Then, you know, because areas of the universe, they have, it's kind of like the United States is the United States, but so we watch over like North Dakota and South Dakota and whatever. We are actually patrolled over as of the Earth in our galaxy by a certain people that are supposed to watch over things that not so smart humans do. thank God that that is true, because sometimes those people have some power and make very bad choices. But, so thank God that there's some intervention. But, yes, that was out there, and it was I know several people that seen it, and it was very interesting. So there is some outside intervention, but I do want to encourage people that listen to, like I said, come from a place of, you know, love and power. Don't come from a place of fear when you want to be involved in those things, because energetically you're a lot more powerful when you realize you're coming from a place of power, not from being scared, you know? I mean, of course, being scared sparks the power, but, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the white light is far stronger than the dark in every instance. And
for sure.
So, you know, for my listeners, for many fish, I had a program on Fukushima on April 4th with Dr. Helen Caldicott, live from Sydney, Australia. And at that time, the radioactivity in the Pacific had not been cleaned up yet, and there was a plume coming to the coast. So we went through all the different ramifications of that, and I got a lot of worried phone calls from fishermen people that like to go out and fish here along the coast. And they were asking me whether they should eat the fish or even bother anymore. And I said, well, I don't know, but now I think it's safe to eat the fish, probably safe. One of the things that the Obama administration last year, which I think was a mistake, was that they shut down the 8 air and water radiation monitoring stations along the West Coast, so the federal government now is not testing anything. And secondarily, mm-hmm. they raised the so-called acceptable amounts of radiation which people can get from nuclear reactors by 10,000%. Apparently at the request of the nuclear industry. That's what he did last year.
Here's the other thing that's interesting, and I hate to cut you off, but, you know, people are smart. Everybody's smart. Those fishermen have been fishing in that ocean or bay or whatever for a very, very long time. You know, instead of coming again from that place of fear, observe. I mean, they have got to know if the color starts looking different, if the fish start looking sick. Any fisherman that I've ever known, they can know. They can tell by their fins. They can tell by their eyes. The fishermen out here in Hawaii are very particular. So mm-hmm. they will notice, mm-hmm. like, if we get a brown water warning and some fish start looking sick, they won't eat it. You know, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I like everybody to not underestimate their instincts, their gut feeling on maybe the fish that they caught. Everybody, you guys are so smart, you know. You have so much intuition, and you're so smart, and you know better. If you don't let your brain overrule what your gut's telling you and what the knowledge that you have. And so those fishermen should really learn to trust and observe and maybe run some of their own tests and maybe watch the fish for a while before they make that decision. I would do that in 2 seconds flat before I would trust any government agency saying, oh, yeah, you can eat it, or no, you can't.
Right,
because
exactly.
There's always an agenda. If they tell you you can't eat it, then there might be an agenda because they want it for something else.
True.
If they say,
true.
Oh, you can, you know what I mean? There's an agenda all the time. Doesn't matter if it's a pro agenda, like they're saying, go ahead and do it or don't do it. I always question it, you know?
Right. Well, the head of the U.S. Federal Food and Drug Administration, the head of it, appointed by President Obama several years ago, is actually the former chief attorney for Monsanto Corporation. And Monsanto, mm-hmm. of course, is the main corporation that is behind genetically modified foods, which people have a lot of complaints about. So mm-hmm. some people allege, with all due respect to the Obama administration, that the FDA has been lax in their regulatory activities with respect to GMO foods, because after all, the FDA is headed by the former chief attorney for Monsanto. But at any rate, I agree with you. If we're all spiritually strong, then we can certainly fend off whatever we're assaulted by in terms of bad food.
Well, and even with you talking about the FDA, people need to, again, be smart. Let's face it, most every single government agency, there's an agenda behind them. I wouldn't trust the FDA. I wouldn't trust it. I mean, personally, that's my personal opinion. I think that it's all a joke anyway. So mm-hmm. I would never take something that said it was FDA-approved because it was FDA-approved. Never in a million years. I would never let my family. I would research it and see what the people are saying about whatever it is. But, you know, mm-hmm. you can do other things, but instead of worrying about it, you do other things. You research. You eat locally. Like, if you're worried about the GMO stuff, you eat more stuff that is grown locally and not instead of brought in. You know, mm-hmm. you do your best to eat things that have the least amount of weird ingredients that the FDA has approved, you know. So you don't necessarily just trust everybody. You start using more common sense on, I'm going to do my own research on this, and I know that this was locally grown, so I know that even if they did use some pesticides, the amount that the big corporations of whatever grows, you know, tomatoes or something, is not just spraying the crap out of them. You know, I know that the local farmers do a better job of doing less of that. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Sure.
Your listeners are so smart. You got to trust that some. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Just wanted to touch base with Eric. Eric, do we have any callers? Okay, apparently we don't. But at any rate, we've got about 4 or 5 minutes left in the show, and mm-hmm. I wanted to go over a couple of things with you. You've got also the law of dharma or purpose, that everything was created with a purpose. Also the law of giving and gratitude and the law of love. I know that we don't have a lot of time left, but I'd love to have you go over for a few minutes about the law of dharma or purpose.
Everybody's created with a purpose, and that's where people get hung up. And you know it from when you're little. You know it from usually when you're in middle school and that sort of thing. You have something mm-hmm. that you're very passionate about in your life, mm-hmm. and that's mm-hmm. actually you were gifted with a purpose. You were gifted with knowledge of something and a desire. And so most people, by the time they get to college or high school age, their parents and everybody has steered them away from their purpose because they want them to be safe and secure and have money. And so it is very important to find what your purpose is and what you desire to be in life and what you wanted to do when you were younger and things that you lose track of time doing because you love doing it so much or you're so interested in it, it's ridiculous. It could be anything from looking at baseball cards to, you know, going to a botanical garden, or it could be to even talking to people like patients or something. Whatever it is that you just love doing, that's your purpose. You've actually been filled with a gift. And people always say, well, how would I make a living at that? Stop thinking in the box and start thinking outside the box. Everybody always goes, how could I make a living? How about, tell me 10 ways you could make a living doing that. Everybody always tries to go to how something's not possible. So if you start thinking out of the box on how something is possible all the time, always figuring out how it's possible instead of how it's not, that's one of the biggest problems people have. Whether it goes from the government agencies, they're always going, oh, well, it's not possible they would do this because of that. Or it goes to your psychic ability. Well, that's not possible because it's never been proven and I can't see it. You know, or I can't make a living at that because of this. They're always going that route. If you start living your life going, I want to understand how this is possible to stop these people dumping all this radiation into the ocean. And I think that there's a way to do it. How is it possible for me to make a living out of my love of baseball cards? How is it possible for me to eat healthier and not have to worry about the FDA? There's always a way. Always. Sure. And if you don't see it, the universe, God, whoever, will bring it to you and lighten your path. I guarantee it. And so find your purpose, because when you find your purpose, that's when everything else falls into place. Money follows that. Happiness, love, your life will change. Your life will change if you're just not afraid to try something different.
Sure, absolutely. We've got about a minute and a half left in the show, and I just wanted to tell my many listeners around the world that to please stay tuned, for Susan Shumsky will be going from Hawaii thousands of miles to New York City to talk to Susan in a few minutes. But in the couple of, well, about a minute we've got left, I'd love for you to wrap up the program and perhaps talk about the law of love in 20 words or less.
The law of love is very powerful once you kind of let go of everything else and realize that everybody has their own purpose and their own thing that they're doing in life, and that you really just come from a place of love, of trying to make things better for you or anybody else, and that just because you love living and you love the existence of other people and you love the existence of the earth and the beauty, you won't believe how powerful that is. It's the most amazing, most powerful energy that you could ever put out there.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, Jennifer, we've got a few seconds left, and I just want to thank you so much on behalf of myself and my many listeners around the world for coming on today. And for those who'd like to contact Jennifer, please just go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and scroll down and click on her name, or go to Hawaiian Healings with a plural S .com. And Jennifer, I hope you have a wonderful day, and thank you again for coming on.
Thank you, and I appreciate all the wonderful work that you're doing, educating everybody and all your listeners. It's really amazing, and that's super important, and I really appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful weekend, and my listeners around the world, please stay tuned for Susan Shumsky from New York City in a few minutes.